like FreshKey or Word Tracker or keyword search, and see what people in your market are looking for. Like, if you're thinking about bringing in handbags or whatever, you know, look up handbag in the keyword search. You might find that monogram handbags are hot, or brown leather handbags are hot, or denim handbags are hot. That way you know what's moving, you know. I don't know what your line is, but you seem very fashionable, so I'm sorry to pick on you if you don't do something that's fashionable. But it's much safer. By all means, it's much safer to do that. Sometimes I do that. Oftentimes I don't. Oftentimes I just see something that said, damn, that looks cool. I think I can sell that. And I'll buy a bunch of them. And I'll take the risk because I know probably if I buy them and it sucks, I won't buy this thing for $10. I'm going to try to sell it for $50, right? If it sucks and it doesn't sell, I can probably liquidate it to somebody for 10 bucks. Now, there's a couple of other ways. I will give you one big tip on a way you can do this. I got in the hand dryer business this way. I own Handy Dry, so we make these hand dryers, like bathroom hand dryers, you know. And the way that I got in that business was I found those hand dryers for 50 bucks in China. They sell in the States wholesale for about $225, right? They retail $495, right? Great item, right? So I didn't know if I could sell them or not. So I found a guy in my same office complex. I got lucky where I was before, and he owned a Swisher franchise, which they do all the bathroom sanitation and cleaning. So I went over to him and I said, man, you sell these things? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, we sell quite a few of them. I said, man, what are you paying? He said, man, they're like 2.25. I said, dude, I found them in China for $100 a piece. You want to split a load with me? And that's how I got in the hand dryer business. Right? But he had, of course, he's had, dude, we're going to have to come up with a deposit. Right? So he financed the whole thing. And when I got them, I got half a container. My half container was free. Right? So there's, and then I could take a lot of risk then, you know, you probably, that it's because most people, I'll tell you, I don't know how many people in this room, about 60 or 70, 4 or 5 of y'all are actually going to go to China, maybe. Most of you won't go. I mean, I've invited hundreds and hundreds of people. Most people chicken out the last minute. They freak out. I don't know what it is. They're just scared to death of going. And that's good because, you know, eventually you'll buy stuff from one of the other guys that go. And we'll make money. That it's just some people just aren't going to go. Some people it's just not. They're just not ready yet either. There's nothing wrong with their decision. It's just not proper for them at the time. But it's a relatively low risk business. Visas, by the way, you do have to apply for a Chinese visa. Chinese embassy's weird. You got to go ahead and buy your tickets and book your hotel. Then you apply for your visa to see if you get it. But you'll get it. I've never went with anybody, or I've never had a visa declined. I've never even went with anybody that did. It's just I use a company, A Briggs, that does that for me. You don't have to have a visa for the Philippines or Hong Kong or Thailand. You can go to any of those without a visa. Just a valid passport. I could come up with a whole, and we will, for the people who really get serious and they're gonna go, I'll come up with a packing list of all the crap you need to bring with you. I got a kit that I've got that I keep at home that's my China kit with all my crap in it that I take with me. You know, Singapore, by the way, on the break is a really nice visit. Because you guys might want to, that last break where I go to Hong Kong, I'm going to the printing and packaging show, and that probably will not be applicable to most of you guys. So you may want to go somewhere else and have some fun.
I was just going to say, do you have an idea when you would have a final itinerary?
You guys will get with Emil, whoever wants to go. I've invited some other people from War Room because our War Room guys get to go every year. I'll find out who's going to go from War Room. And then once we know who's really going to go, then we'll talk about schedules and stuff together and get it really fine-tuned. But I wanted to give you the broad strokes. And then I'll get you guys any other information you want. I'm there to help you, you know, and there's a vested interest in you doing well and me doing well together. I'm not, if you don't get up on time, and screw you. You know, if you decide to stay out at the massage parlor all night and miss the plane, tough shit. Not my problem, right? I'm not going to be your Dutch uncle or your nanny, but I will show you around and I'll give you some tips and I'll help you cut a deal if I can help you cut a deal or something like that if it's beneficial to you. And I think moreover, just getting to go with other people and get their feedback. The way a day works over there, by the way, it is exhausting, right? I'm making this sound sexy, aren't I? So we get up in the morning early. We usually grab some breakfast because at the hotel, try to get anything that you can recognize to eat. I like dim sum. I'm a big dim sum eater. So I eat dim sum every morning for breakfast. I like that. Thank God. I don't like most Chinese food in China. I like Chinese food in America. Chinese food in China tastes funny. So we'll go to the show. We'll work the show all day. And then we'll go back to the hotel that night. Everybody usually will take a shower, clean up for a minute, come back downstairs, bring all their catalogs and their deals for the day, right? And we'll have a dinner that might last an hour or two. So we'll eat dinner, and everybody will pass around what they found today, what they wanted to buy. Somebody will have Wi-Fi open, right? And or two or three people, and we'll start doing price shopping, right? To see if the prices are good, to see what the competitors are doing. And you can get a beginning vetting of whether that's a good deal or not, or market, you know, like, because the thing is, the good thing about a group of people is that, you know, he knows a lot, obviously, about fitness, right?
Really?
He kind of looks that way. You know, I don't know.
And you want him on the trip with him?
Yeah, you want to, yeah, you're right. But he knows a lot about fitness, so he may know something about a market that I don't know crap about, because obviously, right? You know, other people are going to know things. Like, I love to have some women that go, because it's good to have them around in case you need some ironed or, no, I'm kidding. Woohoo! No, I like, totally messing with you. It's China. They iron stuff over there already. It's okay. That was a really racist joke. Okay. I'm doing the iron. No, but there, you know, if I'm looking at products in the women's market, hell, I don't know. You know what? I may find something cool, but it might be that cool to me. But somebody who has fashion sense that I don't have is going to say, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. You know, or know that they can buy that on Fab for $2 when I'm about to buy it for $3 wholesale. Right? So there's the, you know, having the bigger the group within reason. I really don't want 50 people to go to China. I really don't, no offense. I mean, but if we end up with a group of 10 or 20 people that go, that'd be fantastic. And I think that's about where we'll end up at the end of the day.
Translators are provided, what's the language situation?
Translators are almost not necessary anymore, other than from cultural standpoint. I usually hire one. I hire a translator to, and they're getting damn expensive. They used to be really cheap. I usually hire a translator to go with me only to be my subordinate when I need them, to pull the catalog bag, and to go to McDonald's 2 hours early and stand in line at lunch. Because it's a mother. Because it takes forever to eat. And the only food I eat in the Canton Fair building is at McDonald's. That's the only thing I'll eat. And so I send them down there about an hour early, and they'll text me when they're next in line, and then we go down. And that's how we eat. So I've got this thing wired. I've been doing it for a minute, you know? So anybody else?
When
the container comes into LA, it's going to be inspected by customs, obviously, or not. It's going to pass through customs. They've been inspecting more lately, which is, anybody else getting that? Man, I got that X-ray fee's a bitch, man, $1,400. But the container comes into LA a day or two in customs, and then you have whoever your trucking company is pick it up to take it to wherever your warehouse is. If it's going to go outside LA, they're going to put it on a rail usually and piggyback it to somewhere else. So, but most of the time.
But if I'm doing Amazon,
The best thing, are you FBA?
Yeah.
You can actually talk to Amazon about receiving your entire container. Okay. They'll receive the whole container, break it up. So will UPS and so will FedEx.
Okay.
So how are you doing UPC codes if you're doing Amazon?
You have them all printed in China.
Okay.
You do it all in China before they ever get there. You can have them boxed up. Like, you can buy, if you're going to go Amazon, for instance, you can bring, like, I've got a friend of mine that brings in neon signs, and they bring in thousands of them, right? Every neon sign that he brings in, when he gets a container in, they are already labeled to go out to the customer. So they come in a box that's a shippable box, labeled to the customer. So they're bringing in a container. It takes 20 days to get it. So his website's like, yeah, these are all custom neon signs. It takes about 30 days for us to make them and get them to you. So he takes an order every week. They sell about a container a week of neon signs. So every week, when those containers land in LA, they're already labeled for UPS from UPS has logistics working over there. So the container comes in at LA, it clears customs, and it goes to the UPS building, and they literally just unload it, and it goes out to the customer. It never gets warehoused. There's some cool ways that you could, and is Boris, or, where's Boris? Okay, he's back there. Yeah, so you've seen that sort of stuff, right? Are you seeing that? Yeah. So he does a lot of air cargo stuff. So that there's a lot of cool ways you can use air cargo that way. You can use bulk cargo that, because the timeline is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. You know, I've got a friend in Memphis that does trophies and awards for Federal Express and a bunch of other Fortune 500 companies. They fly in trophies pre-engraved, customized to the awardee once a week. You know, and he was able to go out and just kill it in the awards business for all the Fortune 500 companies, because he's literally having all the engraving and customization done in China, so that when the award shows up, it just goes out to that person. You know, so there's some businesses where that's applicable. Most it's not, but there's some where it is.
What about freight to New York? As I work, do you want to ship to New York as opposed to California?
You know what? I don't know. I think most stuff's still coming into Port of LA, but I don't know that. You go rail. You go rail, but and rail's pretty cheap. But I mean, you probably will go in a port. I've never shipped into a northeastern port, so I'm really a bad person to ask that. I just have to ask the forwarder. I can find that out for you,
and see.
Does it? Yeah. So I can find it out for you. I don't know, huh?
I've shipped to Houston.
Have you? Yeah. Houston's becoming more and more popular, and they've dug out the port of Houston right now to receive more boats down there, right?
Hmm.
Yeah, they do. I've got a friend that brings in stuff to, I think it's Seattle or Portland. They've got a port up there. I didn't know they had. You know, so there are more ports. Port of New Orleans brings in certain things. You know, depends on where things are coming from, but and what they are. But and we still do. I'd love to do. Like I go to South America usually every other year. You know, I've never been to India. I bought some stuff from India, but I've never been. It's always too slow to ship for me. And quality control has been a big problem for me out of India. And speed to ship's been bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet it is. I'm lost there. Yeah. I don't want to hold you guys up too terribly long, but I also don't want to leave you with questions unanswered. What else can I?
Just for the newbies, I have a consulting company. Just put the gentleman on the other side. He lost about $15,000 last month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's Import Genius is good to find that out, but for India, I don't know. You know, Import Genius really is pulling U.S. customs data, so I don't know about international customs.
Yeah, once I find the supply, then we can get the price for shipment to India.
Yeah, yeah. That Import Genius would be easy for that, but you're just the whole quality control step. That's something. If you're a consultant, you're dealing with your client, you need to tell them all the pains you're going through for that, so they can appreciate your fee for that, because yeah, it's probably not happy with you right now, right? Yeah, yeah, but yeah, it's there's a process you just got to follow, and still occasionally you're gonna get pinched. The best thing is to hope that you don't get pinched on your first time out, you know. And that unfortunately sounds like you did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. At least you did it with somebody else's money. That's good. What's that? I buy printing out of South America. So I've got I buy printing and I buy some decorative items. Like they have great designers in South America, just amazing designers. In Colombia, I bought most of my stuff in Colombia. And Colombia is like this weird honey hole for printing. Like almost every phone book in America is printed in Colombia. They do mass. It's I could tell you the story. It took an hour, but basically they have these giant tax subsidies for printing in Colombia. Many years ago, there was a Spanish president's son who went over and became like the president of Columbia. It was a weird thing. And the family had made all their money in printing, so he decided he was going to industrialize the nation by making it the world's printing capital. So they did. So he made a 100-year tax abatement for printers to come there. So printers from all over the world came there. They brought in billions of dollars worth of equipment. It became a giant printing hub. Then drug cartels and cocaine happened and all that, and these big companies, you couldn't put a 50-ton Gutenberg press in your pocket and leave. So they just all left one day. They just all abandoned the country and all this equipment was sitting there. So the government went in and subsidized to train printers and to keep that industry running. So it's a pseudo-government industry and they run it at a loss. So I can buy a 250-page hardbound book with a dust cover for about 95 cents. In quantities of 5,000. Low quantities dropped at Port of Miami in 7 days. So there are some advantages. So there are only certain products, you know, out of there. Philippines is really good for cottage industry, small, soft goods stuff, crocheted, knitted stuff, hats, decorative accessories, beaded jewelry, things like that, where you can give them a box of stuff and the whole family can sit around and make jewelry all night and then sell it back to you piece good. That's a good use there. And they're becoming better for a few other things too. The Filipino people are very educated and I love doing business over there. I am the least touchy-feely guy in the world. I try to help that economy anytime I can because I like the people. But anyway. Anything else?
Where would you find kind of canvas cloth goods?
Canvas cloth goods? In the last section, textiles.
Textiles in China, you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, and Philippines, I don't know about canvas. If it's machine produced, probably China. If it's more hand produced, more the Philippines. If it's, yeah. The goods in the Philippines, by the way, the Philippines is great for furniture, high-end furniture. Because like, they'll do work, craftsmanship that far superior to Chinese, but far less expensive than Americans or Europeans. I've got a guy, and one of my buddies in Manila, all he does, he has the damnedest business. This guy is super rich. He's got 3 or 4 cool businesses. But all he does every month is get Architectural Digest magazine, rips pages out of it, has all that stuff made by local Filipino factories and ships it to New York City. So there's a $25,000 table in Architectural Digest. He makes one for $1,000, ships it to New York, and they sell it for $5,000. It's amazing. It's amazing business. Yeah, one of my buddies does cowboy boots over there the same way. Real high-end, like $1,000 cowboy boots. Yeah.
How often would you prototype a product versus like go over there and find a product that's already made?
Depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, if you're gonna go buy a product off the shelf, you want to try to somehow change it, right? If you got a total new concept of something you want to do, then you need to prototype it, and you need to show up with as finished a prototype as humanly possible. Because if you give them a rough prototype, they're going to give you back a rough finished product, right? They're fantastic duplicators, fantastic. They're really shitty innovators. They're not good at that part. And they'll do something that's just so dumb. Like, I bought a $60,000 line of machines one time from them, $60,000 machine, and I was selling them. And I got them back, and they had red plastic knobs on all the handles on a $60,000 stainless steel piece of pharmaceutical equipment. Why did you put those shitty handles on there? Oh, the other handles, steel handles, too expensive. How much more? It was like $1 more a handle. There's 4 handles. Or like a box where I said, hey, this box is getting a lot of damage. I need a double wall box. Oh, you can't do it. It's too expensive. And fight for 3 hours about how expensive it is on a $100 item to find out that the double wall box is $0.25. Right? It's just the way they think about it is not the same.
Yes.
I wouldn't prototype. I'd prototype in the States. Yeah, Shapeways.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what company in the United States would you, I guess you
find one? You just have to find an industrial design firm. It would depend on what it is you're designing. Yeah. Just find a good designer. Shapeways is a really cool site, by the way. If y'all haven't seen Shapeways, they got laser cutters, 3D printers, all kinds of stuff. They'll make you prototypes on a contract basis. Shapeways. Yeah. We're going to have to wrap. I think we have to wrap up and give them the room, right? Yeah, we're going to have to wrap up and give them room in a minute. Yep.
I was going to share an experience I had on your working directly. directly with the factory as opposed to a trade agent? Like in the past, I didn't know if there was people at Canton that really, they just represent an area.
Yeah.
They represent a bunch of
guys.
Factories, and they'll take what you want produced and shop it out. One time you might get it from one factory, and you're like, hey, it's great, great. But
yeah.
Then put another order in, and then they shop you out to another factory. You're like, why did it come to me?
It's another reason I like going to factories. I don't ever spend much money until I go to the factory. I might spend $5,000-$10,000, and because I can risk that. But if I'm going to drop $100,000 or something, I'm going to the factory. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good question. I'll have to look. I believe that it's in. I think it's in phase three. But I'm not absolutely sure. The toy section is not as big as you'd think it would be because there's an international toy fair there. So they do a whole show that's just toys. And the same is true with garments and textiles. There are garment and textile shows that take up the whole thing. So, but I'll look on the site, but I'm pretty sure it's third section. But that doesn't mean you can't find somebody to build that toy for you. I mean, the industrialization of this country is crazy. I was in Foshan, China. Everybody heard of Foshan? Big city, you heard of it, right? Everybody's heard of it? Like almost nobody's ever heard of it, right? There are something like 9 million people there. And they have the number was so staggering to me, it seemed unbelievable. There are 14,000 factories there that make ceramic tile in one city. There are 14,000 factories that make ceramic tiles. That's all they do. The whole city. And it's pretty cool how China's done that because they, guess how many people in that town know how to make ceramic tiles? Yeah. So it's that